is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She is in Berlin. She's the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. And she asks her colleagues a provocative question. Is Ukraine a game changer for European defense? That includes the European Union member states. And I want to go to that because NATO and the European Union are not the same organization. They don't have the same mission. They certainly don't have the same history. And you could argue, you could present that the EU depends upon NATO for its defenses, freeing up the European Union to develop its projects into the century. Is the Ukraine war going to change the way the EU thinks about its role? And Judy, I do not know these two organizations, the European Peace Facility, nor do I understand it entirely, but your colleague, Raluca Cesnatone, a fellow at the Carnegie, says that that is an instrument that can change. How so? What? How would the EU change after the war?
The EU is changing already because it's thinking about upgrading and improving military capabilities, which is easier said than done. The thing is, the EU is not a big sovereign collective entity. It consists of many member states, firstly, and the member states want to look after their own defense, and the member states don't like giving defense powers to the European Commission. That's the executive of the EU. But given the situation in Ukraine, the European Commission has played an enormous role in providing finance and funds to the Ukrainian defense forces and providing them with some munitions and giving them a kind of defense support, which would have been unthinkable a few years ago. So in that sense, the EU is becoming a defense player, but in terms of being a serious defense actor and having its army and other issues, that's simply out of the question because the member states wouldn't agree on this, and it would demand a huge sea change in turning the EU into a hard power player.
One of your informants, and I welcome his remarks because he's much in the news, is General Ben Hodges, now retired, former commanding general, U.S. Army Europe. He's now at the Human Rights First organization. And General Hodges is blunt, as is the reputation, saying that Ukraine war is an example, an illustration, a complete everything you need to know about a failed policy of deterrence in Europe. Is that understood in other parts of Europe, that Ukraine is a failure for Europe to think of its future?
Well, I hope people read General Hodges' answer because the Europeans, most of the Europeans, just didn't think in terms of deterrence. They thought in terms and just assumed that the American security guarantee would be permanent. They didn't think of what would happen if Russia did invade Ukraine, as if we didn't get enough warnings in 2014 when Russia invaded and illegally annexed Crimea and invaded parts of eastern Ukraine and invaded parts of Georgia. But there was this intellectual complacency, largely because the Americans let the Europeans off the hook. And now the war in Ukraine is actually really changing the mindset among the Europeans, particularly led by NATO, about how it has to take defence seriously. And the fact that Finland, soon hopefully to be followed by Sweden, joined NATO, showed that the Europeans cannot provide security and showed that it's NATO that can provide the security, because they are now really desperately worried and afraid of the Russia's intentions.
Another one of your colleagues says that under development or developing, the references to embryonic version of a defense union. Is that to be a separate from NATO? Is that to be a parallel in the planning stage?
It's not going to happen at the moment. And what's the point of having a European defense union while you have NATO? If you're going to duplicate, well, why should the taxpayer duplicate and spend money for two different organizations? I mean, the EU the EU member states certainly have to improve their defense capabilities, but they have to complement each other. and understand that NATO does the hard power, and the Europeans can do a measure of hard power by upgrading perhaps its defence infrastructure, by stopping the duplication of helicopters or of tanks or of aircraft or other issues, and try to have a much more coherent, unified defence structure. That's going to take that shouldn't take long, but in fact, national interest still prevail. And this is going to be one of the issues that dog the reform of the German armed forces.
Yes, let's stay with the German part in our final minute. Is Germany ready to contribute to European defense with its industry? Is the industry undergoing the transformation now? We have a minute.
If the new defense minister, Mr. Pretorius, can actually shake up a huge bureaucracy, a huge administration, a huge ministry bent on committees and everything else. If you can do this, Germany's on a good way in actually influencing the future shape of European defence and of being a really good, viable partner inside NATO.
And the people of Reichenbach, is that their aim as well, to be part of the European defences, because they've been battered for the last 100 years and the population shows it? Do they want to join in this defence?
I think the population of Reichenbach have other things to think about. It's about stability and looking after the Ukrainian refugees and making sure that the economy can give them a little bit of hope and that they won't be going into a deep recession.
Judy Dempsey, the Editor-in-Chief of Strategic Europe of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,